This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for a celebration of New Orleans music, a garden theater adventure, or an evening of chamber music. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Acclaimed New Orleans clarinetist, composer, and jazz historian Dr. Michael White is celebrating the city's 300th birthday with a new CD. It's called Tricentennial Rag and is just out from Basin Street Records. Dr. Michael White is here. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great, and congratulations to you. I see you've been in a creative period, and most of the compositions are original works.
That's right. 10 out of 11 songs. I've been working on these songs for over a year.
Wow. Tell us about your journey and how you explore America's original music, jazz, an African-American contribution born right here in New Orleans.
Well, you know, jazz is not just a set of songs or a limited repertoire, but rather a style that can be used for endless creation and new ideas, both in improvisation, but also in creating new songs. So one of my goals over the last few years has been to look at traditional New Orleans jazz musical principles and combine them with original ideas and personal life experiences. And the idea is to create a new or continuing version of traditional New Orleans jazz that's different from the 1920s classic period of King Oliver, Jelly Roll Morton, early Louis Armstrong, or the 1940s revival of Bunk Johnson and George Lewis, to create something that comes from that musical tradition, but also has values and a sound derived a little bit from my own personal life's experiences.
I love the title of the CD, Tricentennial Rag. How do you take this 19th century musical style, rag, and bring it forward for 21st century audiences?
Well, you know, rags were an important part of early New Orleans jazz, and a lot of times rags were improvised. So I came up with a traditional rag structure or form and an original melody I put on top of that. But we also developed the song into something that is very non-traditional in the sense we have a section toward the end that's used for improvisation, which is the main section of the song, that actually is derived from pop music, several sources, which I don't reveal, but when you listen to a lot of different kinds of music, it's simmering around in your head like a big gumbo pot. And when you start writing songs, different ideas and influences come up from a lot of places. And sometimes you're not even conscious or aware until later where some of those little snippets of ideas come from. And then you can take those and develop them or translate them, in a sense, into the language of traditional New Orleans jazz. People of New Orleans, places in New Orleans, all of those things were an influence, you know. There's a song, for example, on the CD called Sassy Creole Woman. Which is a recollection of some of the types of ladies I used to see when I was coming up as a kid. I'd see them at bingos and, you know, at the house and at fish fries and parties and church and things like that. And, you know, I just remember how they would be kind of judgmental when they saw something that they wanted to comment on or that they thought was strange. And they'd go, oh, Lord, have mercy. So the beginning of the song is kind of a moan reminiscent of that. The song just kind of reminds me of what those ladies looked like, how they talked, how they moved, things like that.
You've got something called Instigators Lament.
In honor of some of our local instigators that are out there. Old people used to always say, when you have adversity and you have people for you and people against you, and the best revenge is success. And so the idea of this song is it's just kind of moving forward with someone just kind of has a positive vibe, you know, that's walking or marching forward towards success.
Song on a CD that is not an original work is the last one, When the Saints Go Marching In, and you do something very special with that song.
Well, you know, I had always said I would never record When the Saints Go Marching In, because everybody's recorded When the Saints Go Marching In. But, you know, that is probably the most popular song in the history of New Orleans. It's the song that people around the world still recognize when you say New Orleans. They say, When the Saints Go Marching in many accents around the world. So we have a very different arrangement. We started out in the beginning like a slow hymn with just piano and clarinet. And then there's a little transition cadenza. And then we pick it up with just a clarinet melody. It's a clarinet feature, sort of. And then there's a great vocal by Greg Stafford. And after that, there are solos by the rhythm section. And when we get to the drums play a solo and then take the volume down low on the tom-toms, and the drums and the clarinet kind of start a musical duet, an improvised conversation, if you will. And then we take it out. So that's a very different way of doing the Saints.
It is.
And it was a lot of fun, too.
Say makes this music timeless?
Well, you know, New Orleans jazz, and that's what I'm hoping to show with this CD, is a universal expression of human life, of joy, of passion, a way of coming together. This is a music created from the spirit of the people, and everyone can understand that and feel it. There are emotions and passions in the music that we all share every day. And this is kind of an expression of that. You know, it's a celebration in a sense of New Orleans life.
Jazz clarinetist Dr. Michael Point, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
How we all gonna be in that number when the Saints go marching in? Now once I had a little playmate. She used to walk, talk with me.
Dr. Michael White celebrates the city's 300th birthday with his latest CD, Tricentennial Rag, just out from Basin Street Records. The NOLA Project's world premiere production of The Three Musketeers continues its run in NOMA's Bestoff Sculpture Garden. This adaptation of Alexander Dumas' classic tale is by award-winning playwright Pete McElligott. Joining me from the NOLA Project are Musketeers, Alex Martinez-Wallace as Porthos, and Callie Russell playing D'Artagnan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
I hear this is one hilarious romp through the sculpture garden. What were your thoughts as it was being considered for production?
Personally, I was very excited for it. And coming from the perspective of being the fight choreographer, speaking from that perspective, it affords me the opportunity to create a smorgasbord of visual mania with swords and fists and feet. And then as an actor, I was thrilled to get a chance to do another Pete McElligott production. He is a very good writer, and I got to watch his process.
I see he's won two Big Easy Awards for Best Original Production. Is he local?
He went to NYU with the original group that founded the NOLA Project, but he's not a local. He grew up in the Chicago area. And he is presently living in New York City, where we studied. And I wish we could get him down here. He's very cozy up there, and somehow we're gonna wrestle
he's
him down
well.
Here.
He's doing well.
He's doing
for
well
himself.
Yeah. Good for him. And he's a phenomenal actor as well.
And what about you, Kelly?
I love that the garden shows have kind of become a staple of us retelling old tales, going from Don Quixote, which was Pete's first adaptation in the garden?
I think it was Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland was first. We do Alice in Wonderland, we do Don Quixote, and now jumping in with Three Musketeers. I personally have been wanting to do nothing but sword fight in the garden for years. So hearing that we were jumping into this, I didn't know how I was going to be involved, but I knew that I really wanted to make that happen.
How does this work differ from the classic tale, the historical novel by Dumas?
Ooh, it pushes the envelope a little bit in certain ways. Most specifically, in our version, D'Artagnan is a lady.
Yeah.
And that creates various dramas. And in the show, she falls in love with another lady. And that pushes the envelope a little bit in certain ways.
Men! Boy, the musketeer should have died long ago.
I don't know why you're masquerading as a man.
I came to Paris to be a musketeer.
But a woman could never be a musketeer.
I'm giving you a weird almost mustache.
You're nothing but a weak, cowardly girl.
I want her dead.
Gentlemen, D'Artagnan, in the original story, is a boy who has been trained by his father, who was a musketeer, who is given a letter to go talk to the head of the musketeers who was just killed. He heads into Paris. He's a little bit of a country bumpkin and has to learn the ins and outs of Parisian life and simultaneously has to join a martial force that no longer exists, but he refuses to give up his dream. And in a way, a lot has not changed from the original story. It's still D'Artagnan, who was trained by her father, in our version, excepting, of course, that the reason her father was training her in our version was because he was trying to beat into her the idea that she could never be a musketeer, because women can't be musketeers, not allowed. And through that, she refuses to back down. Unbreakable. She comes to Paris and falls in love and
coincidentally ends up meeting all of the musketeers that she intends to meet.
And makes her dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you find challenging about your role, Callie? You are D'Artagnan.
It's been hard to play a character in which I've had such a tumultuous relationship with my father, because I have an excellent relationship with my father. So it was always hard to have burning resentment for a parental figure. It was kind of hard to play. But the rest of it, Pete has presented it in such a light, fun way that even when we're talking about these serious topics and things that are very true, like these boys' clubs that do exist and still exist now, and how do we break through that as women, it's still presented in a fun way that the audience can enjoy it, as well as, you know, realizing some actual truths that are still prevalent today.
So there are politics involved also.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But in a fun way. Fun politics.
What makes this play so funny?
It's heightened, sloppy, slapstick fun. Physically, vocally, and Pete wrote it with that in mind. Brilliantly.
Is there a scene you can share?
Porthos, one of the three musketeers, has basically conned D'Artagnan, who he just ran into, and much of the audience, into giving him money. And he is now leaving the scene with the conned money.
Here, this is all I have. I didn't know the musketeers had been disbanded. I'd hoped to join them.
Yes, well, they will be back. I hope. With the help of sponsors like you.
Well, where do we start? What do we do next?
What do you mean? That's it. It's done.
That was it?
Yeah, that's it. We're done.
What are you going to do with all my money?
Oh, I don't see how that's any of your business.
You cheat.
Excuse me?
You are a cheat, exploiting people's love of the musketeers to line your own pockets.
A cheat? You better mind your gob, boy.
Sir, if the musketeers are truly gone, then it falls on me to challenge you on their behalf. I demand satisfaction.
And you shall have it. A duel. 3 o'clock, outside the women's gym.
I will be there. Outside the women's gym?
Don't ask questions.
it's especially fun to play with the Three Musketeers in general. There's even a really fun moment where they do, by accident, find out that I am, in fact, a lady.
Girl!
Well, I'm not a girl!
What are you then?
I'm... Musketeer!
No,
whether she actually gets the title or the label or not, she knows that she is one in her heart.
Actors Callie Russell and Alex Martinez-Wallace, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
The NOLA Project presents Pete McElligott's The Three Musketeers at NOMA's Bestoff Sculpture Garden. Performances run through May 27th. More info is online at nolaproject.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. There is a new chamber ensemble in town. The New Orleans Chamber Players are gearing up for their debut concert, Dialogue Avant, Wind Dialogues, at the Marigny Opera House. The ensemble will perform Stravinsky's neoclassic masterpiece, Octet for Wind Instruments. Founder and conductor Joel Bine is here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Diane.
Our city's musical landscape continues to get richer. What are your thoughts as your dream to create a chamber ensemble is now a reality?
The classical chamber music scene in New Orleans is very exciting and robust, and I'm hoping to add a log to that fire and keep it roaring, so to speak.
So who are the New Orleans Chamber Players, and how was the ensemble founded?
For this concert, we'll have 8 musicians. On flute, Matt Slaughter, who's an Oberlin Conservatory-trained flautist. On clarinet, Christopher Pell, the principal clarinet of the LPO. We'll have on bassoon, Jenny Mann, who is the principal bassoonist of the Tuscaloosa Symphony, so she's going to make a little bit of a trek down here, as well as Marcus Westbrook, who is a graduate student at LSU. And then on the trumpet, Stephen Orejudos, who is second trumpet in the LPO, as well as Shane Corville, one of the members of Versipal New Music. On tenor trombone, Nick Garrison, and bass trombone, Jamie Neely. They're both members of the Acadiana Symphony in Lafayette. In terms of how the ensemble was founded, I arrived here in July 2016. I had finished my master's degree up in Michigan, and I'd always had this vision to create a professional ensemble, specifically chamber music, music for around 7 to 12 musicians to conduct. And I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit and mindset. I just got to the city. I was very fresh. And I started to kind of play with possibility about what I could create and bring into existence. And I got to know Chris Pell from the LPO. And we put on a concert last fall. It's called the Group Muse Concert, which is bringing chamber music into people's homes. But we brought it into CrossFit NOLA. Molly Pate, who's a French horn player in the LPO, is one of the owners, and she offered the space, and we did Mozart Serenade in C minor, as well as some other duets. I just started trying to put projects together and create opportunities, and then I said, you know what, maybe we can make this a real organization, and I got to know Dave Hurlburt from the Marigny Opera House, and he's been really supportive, and he offered this venue, and I said, let's make it happen. I want to do the Stravinsky Octet, which is this incredible piece, and then decided, let's make this the New Orleans Chamber Players.
Tell us about the work and the other compositions we'll hear.
So Stravinsky wrote his Octet for Wind Instruments in the early 1920s, and it's considered his first neoclassic piece. He emphasizes in the first movement the classical sonata form, in the second movement the theme and variations form, and the third movement the rondo form. So he has this really firm scaffolding. That was a big emphasis for him, creating the beauty through the form. In between that scaffolding, he has his imaginative compositional style, often dense chromaticism and different flavors. One of my favorite parts of the piece is the end of the second movement, the last variation. It's a fugue, but it's a Bach chorale-like inspired piece, but it's the most densely chromatic part of the piece itself. He's sort of fusing this really firm classic form with this highly imaginative language.
And what other works are on the program?
Our first piece is also Stravinsky, just a 40-second piece, Fanfare for a New Theater. It's a fanfare for two trumpets, and that was written in the 1960s, so a little bit later in Stravinsky's life. He explores a little bit more of the 12-tone compositional style in that piece. The second piece is The Conversation for Tenor and Bass Trombone by Charles Small, a prolific trombonist for over 50 years, performed in the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. He also wrote as a composer, and this is sort of depicting almost a conversation over a picket fence. There's different moods from friendliness to more brashness that you'll hear in this conversation. Then we have another type of conversation, which is the duos for flute and clarinet by Robert Muchinski, who was the longtime composer in residence at the University of Arizona. And that's a 6-movement piece. I would say often complements the sort of angularity that's often present in the Stravinsky Octet. We'll notice in the second to last movement, it's the most lyrical, expressive portion of that piece, and I would say of the whole program, and you'll definitely get the chance to hear that lyricism that Chris and Matt really bring to the table.
What is your hope for this new ensemble and chamber music in general in New Orleans?
I want to bring goosebumps to people's spines, you know? I want to create awe. That's what's so beautiful about classical music. Sometimes I have these little moments where I imagine the world without classical music, and I get a little bit sad. It's like, you know, music washes away the dust of everyday life. I want the city to continue to flourish with chamber music. That's what I'm trying to contribute.
New Orleans Chamber Players founder and conductor, Joel Bine. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
The New Orleans Chamber Players present its premier concert, Dialogue Avant, Wind Dialogues, at the Marigny Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street, Wednesday, May 23rd at 7 p.m. More info is online at marignyoperahouse.org. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.